Small Biz America.
The brain.
Camille F. Bishop, PhD, asks, why can't we all just get along? In her new book, We're in This Boat Together, she stages a dramatic whitewater rafting journey with four principal characters to illustrate and examine the profound differences between generations in terms of how they work, think, and lead. Camille is a career educator with about 30 years of international teaching experience, and she says that the face of leadership is changing in companies across America, and the stakes have never been higher. Joining us live on the line is Camille F. Bishop. She's the author of We're in This Boat Together. Camille, welcome to the Small Biz Brain.
Thank you so much, David. It's great to be with you today.
So the book features four unique and very different characters who set out on this journey on a company, and the company's called Handover Company, which I love that. It's a team-building whitewater rafting trip, and so these four characters plus a guide who I know is pivotal. Why the rafting trip?
Well, I use the whitewater rafting metaphor because I think that transition is often very tumultuous, and I went on a whitewater rafting trip many years ago, and little did I know that it was going to be class 4 or 5 rapids, and it was so stomach-churning. I thought, what better metaphor to use when you talk about leadership transition?
Is it about the danger and about the journey and about how fear crystallizes how relationships work?
Yes, and it's also about the challenges. You know, when you think about whitewater rafting, each rapid represents a unique challenge, and you have to really pull together to be able to make it through. And each of the four generations that are currently in the workplace have their own strengths and their own weaknesses, and if we can understand one another better, know where we're coming from, we can pull together better.
Right. So you have four principal characters. They're each representing, as you say, their own generation's unique style. Let's walk through the four main characters, Nate, Brianna, Brad, and George, and perhaps also the guide, and find out how you characterize each of these generations and, of course, the characters.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. Well, we'll start off with George. He's a member of the Silent Generation, and George's generation came along right after the World War II generation. They are very traditional in their approach to the work and leadership. They tend to be quite frugal and financially conservative. They have typically have very defined gender roles. They certainly didn't grow up with computers, and they're very value-based, very moral people. Then you've got Brad the Boomer, and of course that's my generation, so I had a lot of fun working with that particular character. And
oh, yes.
Brad is the kind of guy that he's also very loyal, very responsible, willing to work hard, but he's also certainly thinking about retirement, whereas George, he just wants to keep on working. And then Brianna is the Gen Xer, and she's trying to juggle the demands of home and family life as well as the workplace. She and her husband have more of an egalitarian type of marriage where they're sharing responsibilities. And then we've got Nate, the millennial, and Nate is totally into the internet. He's very savvy, able to multitask, but much more interested in relationship and in negotiating what he will and won't do.
Fabulous. Now, it seems that Danielle is a very pivotal character. At least I felt that way. How did you think about her role as it relates to this entire journey?
That's really an interesting question, David. Daniela, of course, is a Swiss-German rafting guide, and I think I picked her character because I lived for 5 years in Germany. And I remembered very clearly how direct that particular culture is and I felt like I needed a rafting guide who would be very directive and who would be able to get them through the journey.
As I look through page 107, you say, for the millennials, this is a no-brainer, relationships rule.
Right.
So as you progress through the four generations and thinking about them, how important is the value of relationships for each of these characters relative to the work itself?
Well, for each one of them, relationship is important, but I think that each generation is unique in the way that they draw the lines. For example, in George's generation, you go to work, you come home. And work is work, and home is home, and they really made a pretty clear distinction between those two places. And especially in regards to leadership, they didn't expect their leader or their director or manager at work to have that much of a personal relationship with them. That just wasn't part of the scenario.
Yeah.
You come down to the boomers, it's pretty much similar. The boomers, of course, were the first generation to say don't trust anyone over 30, more cautious of leadership.
Yeah.
Then you come down into the Gen Xers and the millennials, and relationship starts to become extremely important, partly because I think we've undergone so many societal changes. These two generations have experienced an escalating divorce rate. A lot of times these younger workers have grown up in homes where the father figure perhaps was absent or not totally emotionally there, and they are really looking for a sense of family. And for them, relationship is everything, on the job and off the job. So I think that is actually one of the really unique differences between the generations in the workplace today.
We're visiting with Camille F. Bishop. She's the author of We're in This Boat Together. Camille, do you have a website that you'd like to point us to?
I'm actually working on a website, and that website's address is CamilleBishop.com, and it's under construction.
Okay. When do you expect it to go live so we have a date reference for this podcast?
I hope it to go live by March 1st.
Okay. Thanks for that. March 1st, 2009, folks. Let's get into transition a little bit. What does an organization really need to understand about itself in order to facilitate a successful transition of leadership, and then given the overlay of the multi-generational approach that you've taken to this story?
Well, I think it's very helpful when an organization, first of all, understands its vision and where it's going into the future, and whether or not that vision, perhaps the original vision, has actually changed somewhere along the line, and they need to really recognize that. And secondly, they need to understand that there are generational differences in the way people perceive leadership. And from that perspective, when you're thinking about a leadership transition, they need to understand, well, how am I going to bring everyone into this process? So if you've got older workers, say in their 60s or 70s, that's more of the silent generation, which is represented by George, they're pretty much used to just taking orders, don't ask a lot of questions, automatically trust the leadership, whereas your younger workers are not coming from that place at all. They want to be included. They want their voice to be heard. They want to be more collaborative. And they want to have a sense that someone really cares about their voice.
It sounds as though the tone of all of this, or the spirit, is that no way is better or more effective than the other. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a very fair statement, David. It's not really about one way being better than another. It's about understanding that there are many different ways to approach leadership, and that the generational piece has come in with the way society and culture was when that generation grew up, and that has shaped a lot of their perceptions about leadership.
So for an individual, the challenge, I suppose, is to really understand that you're grounded in a zeitgeist, a certain time period that shaped how you think, and then to come into empathy so that George can appreciate Nate. Is that more or less how this shapes up?
That's exactly right, David. I like that term zeitgeist because that's exactly what it is, in a sense. Many people really are skeptical about the whole issue about generational differences. But if you go to the research, especially in sociology, you'll see that it's been a prominent topic since the 1800s, and that is that certain historical events happen in each generation, and it actually can have such a formative effect on them that it shapes a particular way of thinking that actually can last their lifetime.
Tell us what other activities you're involved with. Are you continuing to write? I know you're an educator. Are you still active there? What kinds of things are you working on?
Well, actually, I'm really interested in writing another book along the same lines, except looking at culture and leadership rather than generations in leadership.
Mm.
When I did my initial research, I actually did both of these, both variables in the research, but I just narrowed it down to one when I wrote this particular book. But I'd like to also write one related to the difference in leadership perception based on culture, because I think this is another huge challenge for us in the global economy that we are facing and the global business world that we're living in right now.
We are seeing a marked increase in diversity in the workplace, aren't we?
Absolutely. And it's not going to go away. Globalization, I mean, if anyone's read the book The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman,
yeah, it's wonderful.
This is the trend. You know, and the world has flattened itself in the last 5 to 10 years. You've got India, China has come full force into the you know, into the working, the global workforce. And that's just only going to continue. So the diversity is only going to increase, not decrease.
Is there a way that small business owners or leaders within maybe mid-size or even larger businesses can help facilitate the kind of empathy that this story illustrates?
I think so. I think a lot of it has to do with just good, honest communication, having opportunities for people to discuss these potential differences, perhaps potential tension points, but that doesn't mean that we have to build barriers against one another or label one another or create stereotypes. I think communication, honest communication that builds trust and that helps us understand one another and work together more effectively is so important. I think one of the books that really inspired me to write my book is called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, and the greatest dysfunction is not having any trust among one another. And I think that's part of the key of helping us become more empathetic towards one another.
Yeah, we've learned that trust makes markets, trust makes cultures.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely. The book is wonderful. Stories can do so much. It's called We're in This Boat Together. I've been visiting with Camille F. Bishop, Ph.D. She's the author of the book. This is available where, Camille?
Well, you can get it on many different places on the Internet. Probably the number one place would be Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's also available at Borders.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com. So it's not in the bookstores. You know, today, in today's publishing world, you have to have a lot of upfront financial resources to get your book in the bookstore. And
yes.
I'm a first-time author. But on the Internet, you can find it.
Terrific. And if you're listening on smallbizamerica.com, there'll be a link as well to the Amazon, so you can buy it right there from the post. Camille, thanks so much for a rich segment around this important subject. Camille F. Bishop, and that's at coming soon. Camille Bishop, that's C-A-M-I-L-L-E, Bishop.com in March of 2009. That site will be live. Thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
Thank you, David.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.